Radio. I'm your host, Helene Lipson, and I am here with my fabulous co-host, C.J. Miller, and we're here to bring you news, opinion, and wisdom from the latest waves of information entering our collective consciousness at this time. Hello, C.J.
Hi, Helene. Great to be here. How are things going with you?
Actually, things are great. I'm getting ready to go on a week-long trip to Mount Shasta. I'm leaving tomorrow morning at the crack of dawn. Major.
Oh.
Major trip, yeah.
It's going to be a great trip, though.
Yeah, it is going to be a great trip. It's very interesting. You know, here we have our special guest, Veronica Lee, and where not only is she living in that basic vicinity or geographic area, I'm almost flying in closer to our guests, but it's so interesting because I had felt we're here to talk with Veronica about downloads, information that we just pull in from the cosmos. And that is how I feel like I'm going to Mount Shasta. I felt like I picked up on a message that was taking me to the mountain, that this is where you need to go to meet your soul family. And I had felt like this was almost like broadcast for many of the people in my soul family to hear and pick up on. And I believe it was a download. And so this way, I'm so excited to speak with Veronica today about the downloads and get some clarification and hear her perception on what she sees that is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I am so psyched we have Veronica Lee here on the show with us today to talk about the topic of downloads, because to me this is one of the most fascinating things. And, you know, when we talk about downloads, like you said, Helene, it's taking in of the information from the cosmos. So we're going to be talking also about Veronica's work specifically. And how about I give the introduction to
I think you should.
The bio
I would love
for,
you to introduce.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely.
Great. I will do that. So, as I said, Veronica Lee is her name, and she's a highly gifted intuitive mentor, inspirational speaker, and writer. And her purpose is to bring forth the clear frequencies of love consciousness to individuals and the collective at this time of great global awakening. Veronica provides private readings and mentoring, as well as facilitating spiritual seminars and classes. You can learn more about Veronica Lee at www.sacred-offerings.com. Hello, Veronica. Are you with us?
I am. Hello. How are you, both of you? Helene, how are you, CJ?
Hi.
Great.
Hi, Veronica. Great to
it's
have
great
you
to
on
be
the show.
Here. Great. Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you both.
Oh, oh, us too.
We're so happy to have you.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. We were talking a little bit before the show with you, Veronica, and Helene and I both found out about you through Facebook and YouTube over a year ago. I think that was maybe a year and a half ago now, and we just really connected with your information. And, in fact, this is not the first time that we're talking about you on the air, because we actually had you on we featured you on one of our Cosmic Currents over a year ago, and it was featuring the work of Bashar and Patricia Cota Robles and you, Veronica Lee, and we entitled the show Sacred Circuitry. And so we're so honored to have you here with us today. And welcome to Cosmic Current, Veronica.
Why, thank you. And I did see that. That was really, I don't remember how I got the information that you did the show and it was sent to me, but it was really fascinating how it was all intertwined and came together so well. It was a great show.
you know, it's like you all got the same download. You, Patricia, and Bashar, three separate people from separate avenues, heard the same information. I think that's what I found so fascinating.
Yes, it's interesting. It's like if something comes in and it's that timing, it comes through the, I would say, the field of awareness, and it'll just be picked up by, you know, many people who are, you know, tuning into, or whether they're conscious or not of that, tuning into that particular field and then bringing it forth in all areas of the world or any particular region.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's I mean, to me, it's something that I feel has become more commonplace lately, especially to people that are light workers or way showers. It's almost become part of the nomenclature of the new paradigm. You know, talk about downloads, downloading information. So I'm assuming that lots of our listeners already know what it means and are very familiar with it. But just for clarity's sake, I want to just describe what downloads are, and the way I see them is that they're cosmic information that's being beamed to the Earth through light, the light being information, and with all the, you know, the latest influx of information coming to the planet today through solar bursts and just so much increased light, it seems that there's a lot more information available to people and that it's coming at a very increased speed. What is your perception of the downloads and what they are, Veronica?
Yeah, well, I find there are different types of downloads. For example, let's look at it just for a moment in terms of what somebody may call a guide or an intuitive hit. So an intuitive hit, there'll be this sort of gut feeling or this sense of something. Maybe this person has consciously, you know, connected with a guide or an angel that they get information from. And then there's the so-called download, where this information just seems to be available, and there's no particular direction that this came from. So in other words, it can come as randomly as just having the information rather than, let's say, talking with a guide or, you know, feeling it in your gut. Mm-hmm. It just sort of, I would say, almost is in one with you. It merges with you so that you become just sort of this information bringer regardless of how you got that information. So does that kind of give you a perspective in terms of the frequencies and how they are available to us? In other words, as we get closer to oneness, that information becomes much more clear and through us versus when we are starting to learn how to trust ourselves and we have to get them through things like gut feelings or feeling like there needs to be some in-between being of some kind, let's say an angel or a guide.
I don't know, as you said that, I know it ran through my head again. What you were talking about, either picking up on other energies or it being a download. What is the difference then between picking up on the outer energies? How do you know if you're picking up on the energies of an angel or picking up or pulling in a download or picking up on any outer energies around you? Or what is the difference? How would somebody know?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I feel like that's an individual-by-individual basis, depending on that person's spiritual growth or evolution. So, for example, there was a time, and how I really started to, let's say, integrate this particular question, is that when I was, let's say, looking at this notion of being more connected spiritually, I had decided consciously, in other words, I was raised metaphysically, I was in the realm of, you know, hands-on healings and intuitive insights and such at a very tiny age, and yet when I consciously said, okay, how am I going to bring this into my world, I decided to embark on learning how to access, you know, the Akashic Records and bring forth information for people. And at that point, it was a very separate entity, right? I had decided I wanted to access the records. I then learned a means to access the records, and then I would, you know, practice accessing the records as if they were something separate or outside of myself. At this point, because of the work that I've done, there really isn't a sense of separation. So I can't actually, on a human level at this point, really discern what's mine and what's out there, except that as I learned this this, I would say, integration, then it became more and more effortless. There was less doubt. There was less sense of separation, and it really became me and my information. So this isn't to say that this information isn't Bashar's or Patricia's. It's that we aren't separate really from the information, and yet we're not engaged with the information in a personal way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you are just learning, let's say, how to trust your own gut, right, then at a young age, hopefully, somebody is teaching you that, when somebody makes you feel uncomfortable, listen to that and, keep your distance from that person. And as we practice and learn to trust ourselves, then that just becomes something we do. It becomes much more natural. For many adults who weren't given that privilege to learn and to trust and have their voice and have their sense of what was resonant and what wasn't, they've had to learn as adults. And so the first thing that I work with people on is really learning to trust those gut feelings or their knowing or their senses, right? And once that becomes more integrated, then they just meander through their lives as if it were already engaged and open. So the same goes for now you've started working with your guides, let's say. I specifically have worked with people who felt like they have lost their guide. They felt like, I don't know what happened to my guide. I was working with this, being, and suddenly, he or she is gone, and what's happened? And there was a sense of sadness. And what I have been able to see is that that guide basically became them, that they integrated. So there was that sense of not being separate, right, because it was engaged, but there was a sadness because they didn't realize that that emergence had happened, that oneness connection had really taken place. So they essentially, became their own guide. Well, the same with these higher levels of consciousness, that there's an access point where you are separate, and then pretty soon it becomes you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, wow. I have to say something. I can relate to this. I have a guide, an Indian guide, that is almost feel like we connected, and I came into my oversoul and actually became this, or he's actually integrated in me.
Exactly.
So as you were saying that, I actually have the chills because that's absolutely 110% spot on. I actually, not only does that resonate with me, I've experienced it. I've experienced just that. Wow, that was so well said. I'm so sorry, PJ, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just kind of
that
answer.
That's really intense, yeah. So what was interesting to me, Veronica, is what you were saying about the oneness, and that it sounds like, to me, is that as we are able to connect more with that feeling of being one with all that is, then we're able to access the downloads as if we're connected to the information intuitively. Is that right?
Yes. In some respects. So the first thing is to recognize if we were going to set it up in a way that you wanted to have access, let's say, what we want to do is have that sense of being separate for a moment, right? Because then you have your you, and then you have this information that you want to get. And so that way there's a goal. I am here, the information's there, and I want to learn how to open up to that connection. So you actually start with this objective that you want that the separation exists and recognizing that, and then you create this access point, a way to get that information, being open to it, and then in time, the more you do it, the more you trust it, it simply becomes part of your living consciousness. So that's that's sort of the path that one would take. And at the same time, what I see happening, speaking of downloads, in terms of a collective, is that our veil, between us and these other realms is becoming so thin that these downloads are happening for more and more people, whether or not they're conscious or whether or not they've created these specific means to get the downloads.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's so interesting that you just said that, because that's definitely what I notice, is that many people, many of us are either consciously or unconsciously bringing in this information. And some people, they're not even aware that it's affecting their behavior and that it's helping them transcend things. So there's definitely a way in which when people are bringing in the light and bringing in this information and sharing it with others, you don't even have to hear it directly in your conscious mind in order for it to be able to benefit you.
Absolutely. And the other thing I like to tell people is that when we think of the word information, it is in formation, right? It is not something that is solid, and we can do what we choose to do with it. It's forming. It's becoming. It's this living, organic entity, basically, that is really coming through us and our own personal experience of it as we bring it forth. Become sort of our own signature and expression of it. So even though, you know, I and Bashar and Patricia all had similar information, it was infused with our own resonance, with our own signature, which gave it its own sweet personality, just like we all have our own sweet personalities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I feel that it would be good to, I mean, let's talk specifically a little bit about what you spoke of in your video that we discussed in our show, Sacred Circuitry, which was most notably you spoke of taking in the infinity symbol in order to increase one's own feeling of oneness and connection to the divine.
So,
can you say? Can you tell us more about that?
I can. What's interesting, so I'll preface it by saying that whenever I bring forth information, it's not just that I bring it forth like, oh, I walked by a booth and I saw these people at the booth and I'm just sharing this information. It's sort of that way that, you know, it's like I happen to be, you know, in the right place at the right time, saw this information, got it, and bringing it forth. So it's somewhat like that, but more importantly, it's almost like it's information that comes through for a particular group or a particular need or a particular time, but me personally, I don't have any attachment to it at all. That in fact, a lot of times when I bring the information through, it's like, oh, here, by the way, I heard about this. Do you want me to share it with you? Here it is. And yet I don't invest in it in a way that like follows it up by saying, okay, I'm going to create a class around this, or I'm going to give more information about this, or I'm going to go even deeper. Because what's really interesting, and I find it almost ironic in many ways, is that in general, I'm really not humanly interested in the world of metaphysics. In other words, I'm not a spiritual seeker. I don't look for information. I don't go reading other people's information because it really doesn't interest me. It's who I am, and I bring that forth, but it's not an effort of me going to get and bringing it forth. So does that kind of give you a little bit of a preface before I go into the information itself?
Definitely.
Yeah, so what I saw and what I still continue to see is that in order to have been human constructs on this planet, we had to agree to particular ways of being. And it isn't a have to, as in nobody can get through without, except generally speaking, I do see that there are some very specific tight guidelines. And, you know, 99% of us have agreed to those guidelines, no matter how enlightened we are. We are agreeing to gravity. We are agreeing to form. We are agreeing, you know, to a particular DNA, let's say. Well, in that structure of what we've created, all these parameters, for example, this what I would call sort of stagnation in our systems, these glass ceilings or these places that we feel limited have been built into the structure. Now, I know that there are other people who are believing that this has been, I would say, sort of cast upon us in some way that, you know, we're sort of, you know, under some other, I don't know, dark forces that are keeping us bound. Yes and no. what I say is that, you know, we are that reality. We are that reality that is the dark force. And so who's doing it to us is us. So we are completely responsible in that way. And yet, by having these structures set up at this particular time and living world that we're working within, we were able to create the reality as we agree to it. And with that, we can then move through this reality as we agree to it into different aspects of being. And so one of those things that I saw that was limiting us as we are becoming more and more aware is that it was as if our bodies had a particular encoding that was only allowing us to have so many combinations of being, and we were still going to hit that wall. So what I saw was that we could just go in there energetically, look for that coding, look for, you know, and if we wanted to just imagine it as a combination lock that had several numbers and set all those to infinity, then we could change that energy pattern to be infinite and to open us up to all of our potential. So does that kind of give you a bigger picture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, setting the codes to infinity, that was the name of the video.
Yes.
And that was a great, that was a great video.
Brilliant.
You know, I would swim in my pool, and I was imagining resetting the codes, literally doing that. You know, I want to backtrack in conceptually for a minute. You know, obviously, well, it's obvious to us that we are moving, shifting into a new paradigm as we're going from a 3D to a 5D reality. Many of us have even been consciously downloading the new operating system in an effort to accelerate the process of integration and personal planetary power. So I want to ask, do you feel like you're downloading or that you have downloaded a new operating system?
It's interesting. I have to say, I feel like in some respects I was born with a different operating system, that I that my life has been pretty easy, and that generally speaking, I my body is extremely light. It's a very light body. I have a harder time engaging in the real world in many ways, and this is what I see as very common for many light workers. And at the same time, it's almost the opposite, I would say, in some respects, that I've had to work really hard to keep me here, right, by eating foods that are denser, by really staying engaged with this world as its agreements are, you know, being a mom, you know, having my children, having a husband, having real life circumstances, because that's really the only thing that keeps me engaged. And if I were to let go of that in a different way, then my system is actually already operating in a different reality, is I guess the best way I can describe it. I can't really describe it anything more clear than that, because everything I get, almost whenever I'm speaking to somebody in this kind of a situation and I'm answering questions, and I can't always bring the information clearly through words, because it's as if our words are so three-dimensional and dualistic that the way that I see and get the information is so much more holistic, and so I'm having to pick and choose to create this picture for people to be able to follow. So in essence, I feel that we are collectively expanding, and that some of it's conscious doing, but a lot of it is simply a predestined agreement upon a particular time and space, and we can slow that down, or if we really keep surrendering, we're going to go through it anyway.
Interesting. So what is your process for channeling? How do you do your channeling?
That's a really good question. I don't that one's a tricky one, only because, okay, so let me just backtrack to when I was consciously learning how to access the records. I would, you know, access the records the way that I was particularly taught, which was with a particular prayer, and, you know, I used that prayer, and then the prayer was to me, very limiting. It was sexist. It was, you know, using the word God as if God was a particular type. And it felt really, and how I learned it was through an organization that says don't ever change the prayer. And I wasn't raised with any religion. And so I feel very bound whenever I feel like there's a rule that says it has to look like this. And I feel like we are infinite beings, and there's got to be an infinite way to access infinity, right? So from there, I just started to say whatever I wanted to say to access, you know, the records. I just opened up and just, you know, said what needed to be said. I'd move my hands if I needed to, and I, you know, would access the records. I used to feel a little different when I'd access the records. I used to feel a little lightheaded. I used to feel sort of like I was on an LSD trip even. I felt a little off. And that was my way to go, oh, I'm really, you know, in the records. Well, after a while, I didn't have that feeling. I didn't need that feeling. I just trusted that I was in the records. And then after a while, I didn't need to access anything. I still go through the ritual of opening up people's records and setting that intention when I work with them one-on-one. But in essence, when I'm in this state, I simply become that. And so for me, it really is a monitoring of the information that is coming through as it's coming through me and trying to speak as clearly as I can as the information comes and having complete awareness of my humanness. So in other words, I'm not in an altered state. I'm not, you know, my eyes aren't rolling back in my head. I can speak completely, you know, in a normal sentence. But the difference is that it's almost as if I have a observer paying attention to both all this information as it comes through, as well as that part of me that's going, oh, wow, this is pretty cool stuff, you know, that's just watching it and being it. But really, in essence, I've integrated with this part of myself so clearly that that it really is no different than me, right? And if you think about it, that's true for all of us. We really are source. The question is how conscious of you, of it are you? And that's where I'm, is my level of consciousness of me being source is, you know, very high, and so that's where I operate from most of the time. And that doesn't mean that I don't have my human moments and meltdowns and such. It just means that, generally speaking, I see the world through this state of being. So it's not essentially channeling, it's being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense to me, the way you're describing it. And, you know, to go on the heels of that, what I'm thinking is that it does seem like a lot of people do have the ability to channel or pick up on the information of the downloads, whether consciously or unconsciously. And a lot of us are really trying to do the work with this and actually take the information and share it with others or use it for our own betterment. And I'm wondering, Veronica, do you have some tips for our listeners so that they can pick up on this information more readily and easily?
Absolutely. And this, I think, is key. I think this is the way of being in the new, you know, paradigm, right? And and so really that's how we are individually and collectively bringing the new paradigm into this 3D reality is by becoming that which we already are. And so the key, in my opinion, is through the heart. And so when I do anything, if I can bring my awareness to my heart, and what I will say is that I have done some work where I've actually, and this is probably true for both of you in some way, doing the work that you have been doing for so long, is that in our heart space, and I'm talking more in terms of the energetic heart space, there is almost like a portal that is what I would call like a, it looks like a, almost like an operating system or a room, or it may look like a circuit board where every possibility exists. And if all you do is consciously ask to find that, and it may have a different form or shape or name for each individual, and that's not to be hung up on. It's just an invitation to look for that place in your general heart space area that says, okay, how do I access that? And you can do it through a meditative experience. You can do it with intention. Personally, I don't use alcohol or drugs, so I don't recommend them, only because I feel like they can become a crutch, and we can really define and find these places with clarity and with ease. And it helps if we are more clear and at ease ourselves. So by bringing our awareness and intention to go into this heart space and look for it and connect with it, that's the beginning. from there, a wonderful way is you can access your own records, and that's not the only way, but really that's a matter of intention. Accessing our own Akashic records is simply a matter of intention, attention, and trust. So setting the intention, I want to access my records, paying attention to what's going on, and trusting it's your birthright and you have access to whatever's there. But there are other ways, and so it can simply be, I want to access this download, this information. And an easy way to watch this information come through is with a question-answer mode. So by literally writing out a question, and I recommend neutral questions, not, oh my gosh, am I going to get my job next week? And what is he, you know, what's going to happen? Is he going to break up with me? You know, none of that. But instead, you know, show me, you know, what do I need to know about the realms of light? Just ask. Mm-hmm. And then just concentrate on this heart space, open up your, you know, your willingness, surrender, trust, and then just write what comes and practice and don't judge. And whatever starts to come through, trust that that's perfect for that moment. That's perfect for what you need in that moment. And to release judgment about it being right or wrong or good or bad or anything like that. So does that give you a picture of how we can begin to open up this energy?
Now, I mean, I want to say, I mean, I work as a psychic astrologer. And so you were talking a little bit about foods, and you were talking about being clear. And I know for me, the foods I eat affect my ability to channel. If
yes.
I'm weighted down with heavy foods,
yes.
chocolate, alcohol mm-hmm. doesn't work with channeling very well.
Right.
You just can't do that. And so
right.
also the sugar and the flour, I have had to do cleanses. So what I want to know is about cleanses in terms of promoting clarity as we're receiving this etheric information.
Yes. So I'm going to take cleanses as a holistic approach, actually, because I cleanse my entire, you know, environment. I don't have a television. I don't listen to mainstream media except if it's, you know, pop radio with my, you know, teens and such in the car. I don't read things that don't, you know, I go straight to my email without looking at all the little extras. I don't buy into the mainstream world of engagement. I don't engage in that way. And I surround myself with like-minded, you know, high vibrational beings. So that is the first place, you know, that I really soulfully cleanse, right? In terms of foods, I have found that, yes, I know that our foods are very important in our clarity. However, what I've seen is that the frequency of the foods, even if they're organic and whole and all of that, aren't as clear as some of us are. So it can be really challenging to find the right foods to feed the body and maintain it and have the frequencies that you are maybe longing for in a really top kind of notch way. So what we can do is start to cleanse with the foods that we have at our fingertips. So ideally with the whole foods. You know, I feed my children whole foods, and yes, you know, we are gluten-free. We are, I'm particularly have been going dairy-free. I've been given instructions specifically to start reducing so many foods, it's kind of ridiculous, but I'm willing. I'm willing to take it on. I've been gluten-free for years. I started doing dairy-free recently, and my next instruction was sugar. And yet, if we can do it gently and lovingly and not extremely, because what happens when we go into these extreme places, just like any, you know, New Year's resolution, is that we make it through the first, you know, week or so, and then we crash, and we, oh, I can't do it forever, right? But if we can take it like an addict might, one day at a time, to these addictive substances, be they TV or sugar, then you can really take it on with much more gentleness and I would say strength, because it's not feeling like it's a complete loss forever. So does that answer your question for you, Helene?
Actually, it sure does, and even more so. I appreciate that. That was good.
Yeah, that's interesting to me too, Veronica, and Helene knows that we're both really into the whole foods, the organic foods, and it's true that even if something is whole and organic, it might not necessarily be like the right vibration for us. And I know that Helene has done this, and I've also done this, like a juice fast. Juicing, I felt that, you know, organic vegetables and fruits really helped to kind of prime me for feeling, for really understanding how things are going to affect me. Now when I take in foods, I know right away if it doesn't agree with me. Whereas in the past, when my system was not as clear, it was harder for me to know how foods were affecting me. I might not realize that it was just putting me into a bad mood or a bad space.
Absolutely.
So
I've done juice fasts, and I've found that I jokingly have said that I should double my rates when I'm on a juice fast because I'm that much better and clearer. Anyway, it really is clear, but I can't live, and take care of my children and function on a juice fast. And so I've done it for as long as I think, several weeks. And felt really good, and to incorporate real foods, and I feel that the raw food movement is really moving in that direction to really, so you don't have to just be drinking. You can have this substance, and I think that the vibrations are staying higher because they're less impacted, and yet what I've found is that the food in essence is still. I can't even describe it. I've had this conversation, honestly, with Anelia before because it's been so hard to find something that matches these extremely high frequencies. And what happens for most people who are really moving toward the light is you hit these peaks where your frequency is so high, and then it kind of comes down a little bit so that you can kind of function, and then it goes back up into another high frequency. So when you're in those moments when your frequency is extremely high and that you're just totally open, that's when it's really hard to match up with your system. And so you do the best you can with the foods that are available to us, and then, kind of ride that wave with grace as best you can.
So that is so interesting, and I think we're definitely all in agreement about how different foods can affect us, and especially our ability to channel. And what I am also looking at, and what I've noticed in looking at your website, Veronica, is that you're in the midst of doing a 30-day challenge for the month of June. So what can you tell us about this challenge?
Yeah, I started writing for Om Times several months ago, and they put out to their writers, who would like to, take part in a 30-day challenge, and I decided to do it. So we put together an intention of what it was each of us as experts wanted to bring forth. And what I saw when I was looking at the whole piece, okay, how do I want to bring forth whatever it is that I want to bring forth, and what is it that I want to bring forth, I really looked at what is my experience in terms of working with people. And what I saw in general is that most people in some way, shape, or form give away their power, or they are in the process of trying to really stand in their own center, in their own self, and in their power. So what I did was I created this program, and it's basically 30 articles, including the foundational article. It's 31 articles that really speak to reclaiming your powerful you. Now, what I wanted to do was, as I looked at the whole picture, was break it down into doable and understandable pieces. What I see when I work with most people who work with me are already awake. They're already high vibrational beings. And they come to me, A, because they're attracted to that frequency, and B, because they are at some kind of crossroad, or they've never had somebody really see them, and they're ready to be seen and to step into who they are. What I see is, unlike the old way of incarnating, where we came in, say, from the first chakra, right? That's why they call it the first chakra, and they move their way to enlightenment. What I see with this new wave of beings that are here is that we actually came in totally awake on the higher frequencies, on these upper chakras, and we're moving our way down through the system, and the idea is to then anchor in through that first chakra with our beingness these higher frequencies. So what I did when I set up this 30-day challenge is I started with the highest chakra, you know, our seventh, and then did a little bit of work around each one as we go down. So each little segment is broken down into four parts. Two articles that are really, the first one explains what it is that you're engaging in. The second is a video offering. The third article really gives some very practical steps, and the fourth is an audio. So basically, we've been working our way down through the chakra system and reclaiming our powerful selves.
Wow. That sounds really interesting.
Really interesting. That chakra from the top-down part was also a brilliant, brilliant concept. You know, I know, Veronica, that yesterday, June 18th, you had an online seminar. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so what I decided was all of this work, and I have to say this on a human, you know, real level, all this work that I created for the Om Times and Gaiam TV offering was done for free, right? We are just out there offering up our work, and it's a free website that people can go to, and it's through the omtimes.com website, and you can click on, you know, 30-day challenge. It'll take you there, and it's an interactive network where people can get involved and take any challenge they wish, and meanwhile, you know, give you input and you give them feedback. But it's all done by our, you know, givingness, our big hearts. And what I thought was, okay, so how can I really make this work for me in terms of, you know, financially, you know, offering something that you know brings back to me all the effort that I put out, but also offers my readers and the people who are taking on my challenge a way to be engaged in the process. So to go through an eight-part series of webinars that follows up after each little segment. And so, for example, after we did the first one, which was the first, you know, chakra, the seventh one, we talked a little bit about direct connect and how do we connect. And that way they can ask questions about what, you know, their challenges may be. And the nice thing is because I'm intuitive, I can answer them specifically about their particular issues as well as, you know, talk to the group as a whole. So the one that I did yesterday is titled Love Consciousness, because we are working on the heart chakra and working, you know, at this knowing and really realigning with this knowing that all essentially is love, that there is only love, and that we are that love, and how are we showing up as that, and how can we connect to that. So again, it really goes back to that original way that you asked about channeling and connecting, is through that love consciousness, through that heart space within us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely the time of the divine feminine, where we are getting into our hearts now more than our heads. So that just totally resonates with me, what you're saying, Veronica.
Yes.
You know, Veronica, I know that time is running away with us a bit. So as we're coming to a close on our show, I'd like to ask you if you have any closing message for our listeners.
You know, I do, in the sense that I work with, like I said, a lot of people who are very awake, who are ready to step into themselves, who are ready to move forth. And what I find is that we have all these human blocks, and that's normal, that's fine. Those are something that we can, I would say, address with, you know, therapists or with other light workers or with healers, you know, et cetera. What I really want to see is for people who have come in with these high frequencies, who have come in to sort of take on the new challenges of this shift in and of itself, is to really step deeply into their mystical selves, to really say, okay, so let's look beyond my own personal need. Let's look beyond what I came in to incarnate for on a human level, and let's reconnect with why I'm really here. And 9 times out of 10, what we're going to find is most people are going to limit themselves to believing it's simply about sharing information, doing life coaching, you know, giving, you know, readings, et cetera. What I see instead is that this is so much bigger than what they originally thought they signed up for. And if they can continue to tune into that, we've really hit the nail on the head. So, for example, one of the pictures that came to me is that I want to create, and I don't want to say the word create because this is not something that is going to be about me or me putting it together in any way, shape, or form. To be a little bit more accurate, to anchor in an entirely new, and I'll use the word economy because that's the only words that we have right now, but in essence, in other dimensions, there's no such thing as a money system. There's no such thing as an exchange where there's any kind of withholding or the sense that I don't have. It simply flows. And what I want to see for our planet in my children's time is a world where everyone actually has their needs met and that there is no such thing as an exchange or even a barter where we have to worry about a value, because the word value is so ridiculous because it implies that there might not be a value, right? And so to really step into that place of changing the dynamics and the paradigm completely to an entirely new way, not a way that's built on the old way that's better than, or learning how to manifest so that we can be part of the way it used to be or the way that it is, it's to really completely dismantle the old to step into the new. And I just would love to challenge every light worker out there who has come in with these really high frequency changes for to implement to actually, you know, rise up to that place and start to bring that forth.
Well, that is really profound. I wasn't expecting you to talk about the economy in that way. And that's really important and something that I tend to kind of leave out of my thoughts around that. So so that is, you know, that's perfect because it really, it is everything. I mean, that is a big part of our world. And I look forward to having a completely new paradigm, especially in terms of that abundance for all in a different way. So that is just beautiful to hear, Veronica. And you know, I would like to, can we repeat again, how can our listeners get in touch with you? Can you give them your contact information again, Veronica?
Yes. My website is sacred-offerings.com. And, you know, there's a little, you know, contact button that gives you my bio, and it has a little submission form that people can contact me that way. You can also find me on Facebook. My web page is Sacred Offerings, and liking that page, you know, I put information about my newsletter. I did get a newsletter that went out this morning, so many of your listeners may have gotten it if they're on my mailing list, or if they haven't, they can sign up. So, yes, and on YouTube, same thing. If they just look for Sacred Offerings, you know, Veronica Lee, I'm there. So there are lots of places to find me.
Great. And can people still sign up for your 30-day challenge, even though it's the
absolutely
end of... Okay.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that, in all honesty, I'm not one, again, that would say, oh, gosh, I'm going to take on a 30-day challenge and kill myself for 30 days, because the work that I'm bringing forth is so intense, and it's doable, but it's big. And so I can't imagine anybody really, like, following along each day and doing these things. But the idea is that if they wanted instead to really set that intention, you know, maybe go onto the website and pick and choose and engage as they want to, absolutely, there is nothing, it's free to sign on. You know, you just go to the ohmtimes.com website, you know, look for, it's called Conscious Living 30-Day Challenge. And so if they look for that, it takes them to another website which they can, you know, sign up for. If they don't want to sign up, they don't have to. They can actually get to the information on the main page. If they scroll down to the bottom, they'll see my name. Next to my name, it says Reclaim Your Powerful You. By clicking on that, each article that has been downloaded so far has, or uploaded, I guess, so far has shown up. So with each day a new one gets uploaded. But the only thing they can't do if they don't sign in officially is, you know, comment. But by all means, they can connect with me just through my website. So there's really no need to go. It was just an avenue that Ohm Times used to kind of create a you know, a format in which people can easily get this information and follow it. So what my intention is once the 30-day challenge is over, is actually to take it back and, you know, reformulate it a little bit and then put it into a package that some people may want to take. And I would honestly recommend people take it more, maybe 2 or 3 days at a time, just because of the amount of and I don't mean to say work as in it's so much work, it's, I've asked them to do a lot. It's really, I'm talking about the frequencies in terms of really tuning in and tapping in. It's big stuff. And so by doing that, we just need a human break and say, ah, and have those decompressed moments, but to stay with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's important to be able to, like, just take in as much as you could take in at one time. That sometimes, I know Helena and I say this, like, if we're trying to take in information that's above us, or, you know, that's just really, really heavy information, we just fall asleep. We
can't, exactly.
Like, so, gosh, it's so nice to talk to you, Veronica, and it feels like we're really sharing wisdom with another kindred soul. And I just want to thank you so much for everything that you're doing for the collective. It's really wonderful.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure spending time with both of you. And this format was lovely. And I know at the beginning we set an intention. And what I really intended and felt coming through is just really opening up that channel, let's say, with the higher frequencies available so that all your listeners can actually physically and palpably feel that energetic surge. So that is my offering as well.
I think they did, yes. Veronica. You know, I could feel the love this show, and I can feel the information that you were bringing to us and our listeners was coming from an extremely high place and an extremely high dimensional place. And I really was, again, able to completely relate to what you were saying. I mean, what you say really resonates with me. I'm just so happy you came on as a guest. And I look forward to tuning into your 30-day challenge and some of the programs that you have coming up. I'm getting on the Sacred Offerings mailing list myself. And I just love you and thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you to both of you.
Thank you, Veronica.
Yes.
It was great.
Bye.
Now, and CJ, this was another beautiful show. So thank you, too, for being such a great co-host.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, Helene.
You know, it's another love fest here between us all. I love that. I love when that happens. I want to thank all of our listeners, too, again, for joining us today on Cosmic Current. You can join us again on July 3rd for our show with Sandra Walter. Next week on the Helene Lipson Show, I'll be interviewing Laura Magdalene Eisenhower and Dr. Dream. And so that's June 26th at 8 p.m. For all our listeners, till we meet again, we send love, light, and blessings to all. Namaste.
Namaste.